Wilhelm with Alone in Your Garden. Welcome back, folks. On the last set, we listened to some Alice Phoebe Liu, who we got to see live last week. Heard some music from Big Fear, a new song of hers, of theirs called Courier Mail, and some Bloodworm. And I'm going to leave us with some Canadian music to finish off this week's show. And the reason why I say finish off is because we have an interview coming up in the next sort of 20 minutes. We're going to be joined by Gabe from Trashwire, who are a really cool new band from Toronto. They do sort of music that's a little bit of electronic, a little bit of, I guess, what we can call hyperpunk. There's also like really like glam elements in there. They're a fun and really interesting band that's on the rise at the moment. And I met up with Gabe just before we went to see the OBGMs, who I'm sure all of you know. They're probably Toronto's coolest punk band, and they're making their way out there. They're headed out to Europe, and they're playing in the UK this summer as well. And that's happening in May, so that's happening really soon. And this was their last big show in Toronto for a little while. They say they're gonna go away and sit and write for a little while now, and I'm just excited to see what they come up with. This was sort of a run of shows that they did after their appearance at the Junos, where they were nominated for the Best Alternative Album. It was sort of a homecoming show, one of their biggest headline shows at Lee's Palace. The energy was insane, and the crowd, the pit, went insane. People were just, you know, crowd surfing, stage diving every 2 minutes, it felt. But still, it felt like it was a very kind pit as well. Like, everyone looked out for each other. To me, all in all, this show really felt like a celebration of Canadian music, of the Canadian music community. Right from the openers, a band from Guelph called Bonnie Trash, who are a really cool like rock band that you've got to check out if you're looking for some great new rock music in your life. And also bands like the Effins from Toronto, who just have this really palpable, dangerous chemistry that really seemed interesting to me. But there was also another really important thing that frontman of the band Dens was the OBGMs Dens was talking about, is that, you know, this show was sort of about celebrating and uplifting all corners of Canadian music, making sure that there's a space for all sorts of kids, all sorts of alt kids, also all sorts of punk kids to be welcome, whether it's the girls, the women, the punks of color, the trans community, just everyone having a great time, keeping each other safe. And obviously it was just a really good, really cathartic show in some ways. And I have great news for you, because we recorded that show and we're going to be bringing you it as a live session with the band soon on our airwaves. I'm going to play you a song to finish out this one from their Juno nominated album, Sorry It's Over. I'm going to play us the song Changes, which segues nicely into the next feature we have coming up, which is Gabe joining us to talk about Trashwire, who have a debut EP coming out next Saturday that they're playing at the Arcade in Toronto. We were chatting with Dens before the show, just hanging out outside the venue, and Dens remembered talking to Gabe from meeting him earlier, and when Gabe crowdsurfed his way to the stage during the song Changes, Dens brought him on to sing with him, and I'm sure that's something that Gabe will be very pleased that I have recording of. But we obviously don't talk about it because this happened before the show. You can find the OBGMs at theobgms.bandcamp.com. Go support them. Trashwire are Trashwire with a Y. .bandcamp.com. Let's start off with Changes. This is the OBGMs. I'll see you all next week. Goodbye.
I will pray to change. like ever heard before. Like Lem's like, I'm jealous of the tone that you've gotten. And I'm just like, I just kind of like mishmash pedals I thought sounded good.
Okay, I'm happy with that. So do we want to like start proper?
Yes.
Okay. So we're out here, just outside the OBGM show. Do we want to say that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and I'm joined by Gabe. We're having a chat for Trashwire right now. Hello, Gabe. Welcome back to the show.
It feels absolutely incredible to be back.
We've missed you over the last couple of months.
Ah, shucks. I've missed you guys.
But it's been an eventful few months for you guys. The last time that we saw you, it was like in December or January, wasn't it? When you guys were playing at the Raven Underground. Like a pretty packed show. One of your biggest headlines to date, like 400 people. That's a big venue. And you guys killed it out there. The energy was so good. It was like a late night show as well. But people were coming in with like full energy. And our listeners would have heard it because we recorded that set for you guys. And we heard it on radio. And it sounded really, really fun.
Yeah, I mean, that Raven show was certainly something extremely magical. Just to get everybody out in a January show as well. Just to get the amount of people that we did and just have the amount of support and just everything about it was just a 10 out of 10 experience. Everything from just seeing the amount of faces that pulled up to the events and everybody having a great time and just the vendors. And it was just overall an incredible experience. And I'm glad that we were able to do it so quickly into our career.
And I know I saw people leaving as new fans as well. Like people who may have come to see a different band who just left being like, wow, who was that band?
I think that's the goal with anything, right? You want to
win over a new audience.
Yeah, exactly. You want to, you know, give your best performance night after night. Mm-hmm. And in hopes of getting new fans every single night that may not have come to the show looking for you specifically, but left the show thinking, I need to see when these guys are back next.
Mm-hmm. And they will be able to do that really soon. But I'm just going to introduce you guys or give a little bit of a background for people who are listening in who may have forgotten because it's been a few months and our attention spans are all garbage. And for people who may never have heard you guys before.
That's what TikTok does, Dia. Mm-hmm. Attention spans are all gone.
Mm-hmm. We're giving the 30-second pitch. So Trashwire is kind of, to my ear, it's a little bit of hyperpunk. It's a little bit of like trashy, glam, glitzy stuff. You guys come out there and it's like, it's a sight to see. It's something to hear. There's a lot of energy and you're just a really like fun band on stage.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel that's the vibe.
Yeah, fun is definitely the vibe we always want to give out. We've done shows to 10 people and shows to 400 people. Mm-hmm. And we give the same amount of energy every single night after night. It's almost like therapy being up on stage and seeing everybody having a great time.
Which is what the best bands do. So it's been a little while since we saw you at that Raven's Underground show. What's been going on for you guys since? Because it's been a busy time.
Since the Raven show, we had a couple other handful of shows that we did across the GTA, Tapestry to name a couple venues, Small World Center. But we are finally done our first ever EP entitled Umami. And we're extremely proud to have the release date of that being April 25th, the same day as our EP release show at the Arcade. Next Saturday.
And that show is at the Arcade.
Yes. The Arcade, which so graciously put us together with the Punk Rock Lottery. Mm-hmm. Now it's a full circle moment going back to the Arcade to release our first ever EP.
Mm-hmm. Because you guys met at a punk rock kind of like songwriting workshop thing. And yeah, you're thrown together and somehow this like mishmash of different influences has come out and it's given this. And this is kind of like your homecoming show now.
Yeah, I suppose that's the best way to go about it because we haven't really done a show that's outside of the GTA yet. So I suppose the Arcade would be our homecoming show from the place that we were proverbially birthed from. It's definitely going to be an extremely fun show and an extremely fun night. The Arcade is so gracious and they've been so gracious to us from the very get-go. So without them, we wouldn't be able to do the show next Saturday and we're extremely excited to be back.
And what's the vibe of the Arcade? Like, what kind of a venue is that? What's the show going to be like?
It's a house venue, so expect a lot of chaoticness.
Literal homecoming in a sense.
Literal homecoming. We're at somebody's house. We're going to be in their living room, rocking the house down, mm-hmm. and putting on a show that is going to be one for the ages.
And this is one where you finally unveil the EP, the track listing. You play all the tracks for the first time. Is that right?
Yes. We have played all of the tracks during our other shows, but this will be the first time where it's going to be played, hopefully, start to finish, cover to cover, if you will. And we're going to see how everybody likes the final mixes, the all the new beautiful instrumentation stuff that Hex has so graciously done for us. So it's definitely going to be different compared to anything else that they've heard from Trashwire previously.
Mm-hmm. Can we reveal, like, the track listing, what's the EP going to sound like, all that stuff right now?
Absolutely. Why not? With all the birds chirping, let's do it. So the first track is going to be titled Zoo, which is actually my favorite song on the EP. I love how chaotic and just all over the place it is. It's the perfect introduction to Trashwire if you've never heard of it before. Dens from the OBGMs, who we're about to see in a couple hours, he's extremely looking forward to the EP so he can hear Zoo, because I've raved about it so much. After that, it's going to go straight into Cop Car. And then from Cop Car, it's going to go to Double Down, Electric Molecular. Those two might get flipped around. We're still not completely sure about that. And then we're ending it off with Rich Kids, which is going to have a brand new mix just for the EP. So if you're one of those people who are like, man, I really liked that Rich Kids song, but the mix was just terrible. Oh, the mixing. Oh, I can't listen to this song. The mix is terrible.
I liked it better live.
Yeah, you'll be able to hear a new mix that you may hate even more.
And that was like you guys getting into a studio, and you've recorded previously in a studio, but this time it was like you're there for the EP. It feels like a more kind of cohesive thing that you're going to record. It's not just singles, it's not just a one-off. It must have been something of a learning experience.
So I wouldn't say it was necessarily a learning experience for myself or Hex. We have done music for a decent number of years now that we kind of knew what to do and how to go about it to maximize your time, given the, you know, 2-hour time slot that you have. And we were able to go in there, bing, bang, boom, finish what we needed to. It was more so Dean and Lem that were learning for the first time how the actual studio experience is. And to their credit, they actually got it really quickly. And they're ready for future EPs, the first album, whenever we start all that. They're going to be ready to be more on the money with, like, okay, when we have a time slot, we need to be there right on the money.
Cop Car is one of the standout tracks on the EP. Like, from what I've seen, every time that you play it, it goes down live. Storm, how has the crowd response been to that one from your side of the stage?
So, besides the fact that our comments have just kind of been littered with "so you want to burn a cop car" comments, it's extremely fun to see the crowd reaction to that one. Funny enough, from the amount of people that we've spoken to, the songs that they end up saying that they loved or related to the most is actually Rich Kids or Double Down. We haven't got a lot of Cop Car, which is interesting because everybody in media world seems to really like Cop Car. Mm. So it's
and
a nice...
the energy of that song also goes crazy on stage.
Yeah.
It's multifaceted. You've got something for everyone.
You couldn't have said it better myself.
And I also want to talk about the looks of the band, because I feel like when you guys come up on stage, there's a visual off the band. You like come on very confident. You've got the telephone vocal thing as well. And it's not just like telephone vocals as an effect. I mean, there's literally a telephone taped to your mic stand. And like, that's something of a visual. And I know that the like aesthetic element is also really important to you guys. And you did a photo shoot recently as well, which I guess now that you're going into the EP that and putting out your first like release into the world, that kind of sets the Trashwire look as well, right?
Yeah, it definitely sets the look in stone. When we initially had started and did our first show at the Punk Rock Lottery, our costumes were all over the place because it was also a Halloween show. So we didn't really get a full indicative kind of experience of what the band was going to look like. But we just kind of progressed show after show, kind of getting the vibe of what not just ourselves, but what our audience was kind of dressing as. So we very much, at least myself, I very much catered towards that. Seeing all the people in our community, obviously we're very big with the LGBTQ+ community, and seeing how everybody is just so able to express themselves throughout their outfits made me very confident to start dressing that way. Mm. Because I wanted to for the longest time, but I felt like I couldn't until I started being in Trashwire and I saw all of the different fans that would come to shows night after night, and they would just be the absolute happiest with the best clothing I've ever seen in my entire life. And I influenced a lot of that based off of that. Lem, Dean, and Hex already kind of had that experience with, you know, dressing however they want, just dressing however they felt best express themselves. And I kind of had a bit of a learning curve to get to that point. And I'm glad that I did, because now we have the proverbial look of Trashwire pretty much nailed down.
Yeah. It's cool that the fans led the way on this one. Like, it's almost like they brought that out in you.
The fans bring out everything in Trashwire. I know that, like, every band kind of says, oh, it's the fans that drive us, except maybe the Strokes. Julian Casablancas doesn't really care about anything but Julian Casablancas. But for
this interview is going out on Coachella weekend, so I'm sure people will have that on the top of their mind.
A lot of people, of course, would say that the fans is what drives them, but you can kind of get that sense of, like, you're kind of just saying that for the camera. I genuinely mean it when I say that the fans are what drives Trashwire. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have gotten the amount of attention that we did as quickly as we did. We wouldn't have the fan base who consistently shows us support, even when we feel like everybody else is against us. If it wasn't for the fans showing us their style, showing us that energy, showing us that love, there would be no Trashwire. And that's as simple as it is.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I also see there's a little bit of, like, an aesthetic that I would kind of call neon, a little bit kind of Y2K. It kind of reminds me, and I don't want to put, like, band names in your mouth, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, the new Fontaine's DC look as well.
Why are you putting band names in our mouth?
it's a little bit, like, bright, colorful, loud, hyper-punk, I guess you could say.
Say that again. Hyper-punk? Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that other bands kind of influenced us more than just our own community and our own fans.
It's also sort of what's in the air right now.
Y2K style, older brother core, if you will. Yeah, it definitely has a big sense on, you know, dressing however you would like to right now. That's definitely the big fashion trend at the minute. And I love that because it allows everybody to express however they wish.
I feel like it's kind of giving, this is the place for all the misfits to come and be understood.
That is how I had looked at Trashwire from the very get-go. We came together as four misfits who got thrown into a group chat and got told, hey, you have 30 days, make a set list, make a style, make a band. And we did that. And I think it's a beautiful tapestry of just everybody's style and artistic merits thrown together. And
a little scrapbook.
It's a little scrapbook. It's a little memento of every single thing that other people have kind of influenced on us as much as it is our own original stuff.
While I have you, and while we have a little bit of, like, insider previous, where our listeners may not know this, but we talk outside of the interviews as well.
What?
I remember
there was
a little while ago when you'd sent all of us, like, some pictures from this photo shoot that you guys had done. It was like minus 30 outside. You guys were like diving into snowbanks in, like, t-shirts. What happened to that photo shoot?
That is the photo shoot that we use on the EP release flyer. That is the images of us jumping into the snow.
Well,
and that
was that story.
Essentially, we realized we needed a cover for the EP, and we didn't have one up until that point. And our lovely manager / photographer Vic had said, well, why don't we just try to shoot something now? And we saw this big pile of snow outside of Small World Center, and we saw this decently high ledge, and we said, you know what would be a great idea? Let's go in our t-shirts with our expensive, you know, ASS guitars and jump into the snow. Surely we won't roll an ankle or break a bone or smash our guitars. And we didn't.
Wow.
That's the most surprising point of it. All of our guitars work.
I feel like the spirit of Trashwire was just watching over you on that one.
Oh, definitely. It was probably about the fifth or sixth time when you're jumping off of that ledge in, you know, minus 20 degree weather. And you're like, okay, so this is going to be the one that we break our leg on. And we didn't. So there must be some trash spirit around. It's the spirit of Oscar the Grouch somewhere in the air.
Mm-hmm. And long may that continue. While we're talking about aesthetics, I want to talk about the EP cover as well. So we haven't had a big reveal yet. What does the EP artwork look like?
Either it's going to be essentially the same image that you see on the EP release flyer, or this other option is probably the one that's going to end up happening, is it's going to take influence from that scrapbook style from the poster, but the main image is going to be a digital version of a cop car on fire that we had commissioned from an artist. And we feel like that is the best representation of Trashwire as a whole. And I feel like that image is just more overall striking, really catches your attention if you were to go to a record store and see, ooh, what's this? I feel like that's the exact reaction we want from everything regarding Trashwire. T-shirts, you know, cover arts, posters. We want people to be like, what is this?
It's a little bit anarchic. It's a little bit shambolic. It's very much punk and DIY as well.
Yes.
I've seen there's a lot of planning going on for what 2026 will look like for Trashwire. What's coming up next that you can tell us about already? And what's like, what are you hoping the rest of the year looks like?
So our rookie year ends officially in October. That is the one year mark.
The band.
Yes. So with that in mind, we still have a couple goals that we really wish to set out. Obviously, releasing the first EP was a big one, and I'm so glad that we did that. We really hope to play Greenwood Stock as our second big goal.
Greenwood Stock for our Kingston listeners?
Greenwood Stock is a lovely little local festival that they host every, I believe it's August or September, between the Flat Top and the Arcade, two DIY venues on the east end of Toronto near Greenwood Station. They alternate who's playing at what time on the venues at the Flat Top and at the Arcade. That was a big goal for us from the very get-go, because Punk Rock Lottery has only been going on for 2 or 3 years, according to my bandmates. And we asked the Arcade during Punk Rock Lottery, how cool would it be if we made it to Greenwood Stock? The Arcade said, you would probably be the first band to survive Punk Rock Lottery more than a year. And if you guys do manage to get to Greenwood Stock, that would be the biggest accomplishment I think you guys can say. Last year, they were headlined by Pew Pew Pew. So to get on a lineup as important to the local scene as Greenwood Stock, it would really solidify that we have made it as a local scene or as a local band in the scene.
Anything else that's coming up for you guys that we should look out for?
We have a couple more shows littered throughout the summer, but nothing extremely set in stone right now. After the EP, we're taking a little bit of a hiatus so we can just finally decompress. EP's done. EP show is done. We can finally enjoy the nice warm weather. But we're going to be right back into it, into the heart of summer. We're looking at either recording EP number 2 or album number 1. Another internal discussion / argument between the band members what we want to do next, because they're all looking forward as to what's next, but it just comes down to what do we feel we have the drive to push towards right now.
Mm-hmm. And where the songs are kind of taking you as well.
Yes.
And where can people like keep up with all this stuff, and where can they find the EP importantly?
Oh my goodness, we finally have a Bandcamp.
I must be like Bandcamp's biggest propagandist, because I'm just telling everybody to get on Bandcamp.
We have a Bandcamp. I'm so happy. I don't just have to say you can find us at a show and buy our CD. We have a Bandcamp, folks. It took so long. I'm so happy. Funny thing about that actually as well, Hex had mentioned, oh, you know, maybe we should push the Bandcamp a little bit later, so once we have the EP, we can just release everything at once. And I said, no. I said, we can't wait any longer. I need a way to listen to our songs on the phone besides going to our Google Drive, please. I'm so happy. We have a Bandcamp. It's Trashwire. You can also find a couple of our live shows on YouTube. And eventually, if, you know, our manager Vic really starts to jab us to go onto the social streaming platforms, I suppose we're going to have to relent. I know during the last interview we said we're very much against it, and we still very much are. But, you know, if our manager says, hey, so you kind of have to, we're going to listen to our manager. She's the absolute best. Mm. So without her, we would still be local band playing house shows.
Yeah, interesting one to navigate as well, especially right now with like the streaming and all of that. But I'm sure you guys will figure it out. We'll keep up with you guys. For anyone listening, it's Trash Wire with a Y. We're gonna go out with one song from the EP. Should we go out with Rich Kids?
Let's go out with Rich Kids. Okay. Because who doesn't want to be a rich kid in this day and age?
Gabe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Daddy,
I want another pair. I wanna be like rich kids. I wanna be like rich kids. I wanna be like rich kids. I want that money. I wanna be like rich kids. I wanna be like rich kids. I wanna be like rich kids. I want that money. Ain't it funny how the government hates you and yet they want your money? I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't escape, but they want your money.
Hello, you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. This program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario that have been featured in the weekly Release Radar series. In this week's episode, we caught up with Riley Fitzgerald and Aidan Belli of Rust Pump, who joined us to chat about their newly released self-titled three-track EP. After our conversation, we'll listen to all three tracks from the new release. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the show. All right, guys, thank you for coming into the studio today. Thank you for joining us here on CFRC. Let's talk about all things Rust Pump. So, guys, maybe Riley, starting with you, could you tell us a short story about Rust Pump and how you and your fellow bandmates found each other?
Of course, yes. Yeah. So about 3.5 years ago-ish, I came to Kingston, and I came to Kingston as a student at St. Lawrence College. I did the music and digital media program, and there I met Isaac and Liam, who are the now bass player and drummer of Rust Pump, and it just started the three of us, and we played all the time in between class, during class, and we had access to a studio, and I was the guitar player and singer, and we were just a three-piece, so we started out as a three-piece for the first like year of Rust Pump, and slowly we started playing all the venues. We were really lucky. One of our first few gigs, we opened for Luscious at the Toucan.
Yeah.
And that was super fun. And that kind of got us a little bit of traction right off the hop. And then we started doing all these great gigs, and we started, we played at the Horseshoe in Toronto and did little like GTA tour kind of style things where we were able to hit like Oshawa, Hamilton, and in Toronto, and then Aiden kind of Aiden and I were a part of a bit of a side project where I was the bass player and he was a guitar player, and we got to know each other a little bit. And then eventually I was like, hey man, like you would fit great in Rust Pump. And I definitely think I would rather be able to focus on like rhythm guitar and just like vocals, and it'd be great to have someone like you like playing guitar. And he really wanted to, and we did a gig at the Toucan and it worked perfectly, and we've been doing the thing since.
Right on. So, Aiden, over to you. So, what drew you to want to be a part of Rust Pump?
Yeah, of course. So I'd say right off the bat, Riley's energy, the way that he was able to control a crowd was electric. And right away, it felt like a good fit. We would always vibe out about, the same artists, the same music. We both kind of loved that like 60s, 70s rock thing. So it worked out pretty quickly that we became good friends and started making music from there.
Amazing. And now back over to you, Riley. So, where does the band name Rust Pump come from? It's an unusual one.
Yeah, it surely it is. It was this weird like name that I kind of came up with when I was quite young. It was like a name of a group chat that we were that I had when I was young for like playing some like games and stuff with my brother and cousin and family. And it really doesn't, of course, it doesn't have a meaning because what is Rust Pump? But it more or less it just whenever we were looking initially to have a name, no one had any ideas, and I was like, well, I have this one idea. And I was like, the name is as good as you make it, really. And I was actually recently I was talking to one of the guys from Casador, and he told me that he initially went to see Rust Pump at the first time we ever played Homegrown. He went to go see us just because, like, the band went to go see Rust Pump just because of the name. And they were just curious about what that would be,
Yeah, that's amazing. Amazing. All right. So I'd love to hear from both of you now about what the songwriting and composition process is for you. Aiden, can we start with you? What does this look like? Who's in charge of lyrics, and how do you work together to compose the music that you've created?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say our normal process is always a little bit different, but as a general kind of guideline, Riley will come to a practice. He'll kind of have lyrics ready or like an acoustic riff ready. He'll present it to the band, normally me first as the other guitarist, so that I can kind of bounce harmonic information off him. And then from there, we'll kind of show it to the guys, and we'll honestly kind of just jam it out for like 10, 15 minutes at a time, see what sticks, see what we like, what we don't like. If we're feeling that the energy's high, we'll go a certain direction, that kind of thing. But I'd say as a general process, Riley normally brings it to the table there.
All right, and now over to you, Riley.
Yeah, so I think it's also evolved because for sure when Aiden first joined, it was just me like writing stuff and bringing it to the group. But it kind of evolved into like this jam thing where Aiden or even Isaac sometimes would start with a riff. And they would just play it, and it would just be like this fun jam kind of thing. And then I would just come in with some random melody and some random lyrics. And, I'd write like 100 verses and like try out a whole bunch of different things, and just slowly, like, I would even sometimes record it and then listen back and decide what I liked and didn't and try to like cut it from there. But yeah, I think a lot of our music was born out of jams.
Nice. So with that, with your new self-titled EP, is there an overarching theme that occurs across the tracks?
I would say overall, with this EP, we wanted to take the opportunity to kind of show how versatile we are as a sound. We're used to doing kind of 3-hour gigs at the Merchant and all that stuff. So we wanted to bottle all of our experience into three tracks that we felt covered our whole range. So if we take a song like Drool Again, that's kind of our attempt at the indie rock sphere. Our song Never Home, that one's kind of sitting right in that 70s funky rock thing. And then Hung Up is kind of like our modern interpretation of all of our influences kind of combined into one.
So, do you keep recordings of the earliest cuts?
Oh, I have, yeah, if I go back in my voice memos, I have I have recordings of when a lot of the songs were first written, and it's pretty, yeah, it's pretty eye-opening because, you know, since then I change a lot of things. I change like melody, lyrics, and I try to like, you know, a lot of times when I am writing, I'm just kind of spitting stuff out, and then it just needs a lot of reforming, right? It's not usually the first thing I write isn't usually the thing that sticks, but it's the idea, the overarching idea is what, you know, really is what we can work with.
You're right. And so both of you have sort of said like waiting for that thing that just sort of sticks when you're jamming out and experimenting with some new material. What is it that makes it stick for you collectively?
I would say honestly, if like when it gets into that kind of jam moment. So let's say that we've come up with a riff that we like. You know, it's we're in a, maybe let's say we're in a weird mode or something like that musically. You know, Isaac and I will look at each other, and then the moment that we get a little smirk out of one of each other, we're like, okay, that was something interesting. What can we do to make this into an actual song? Because I feel like
Yeah.
with our instruments, it's easy to get lost in like the oh, let's see how complex we can make this. But if we can just take like a complex idea and then make that the riff and then turn the tune into something interesting, that's when we know we're like, okay, we might have something here. Let's show it to Riley, see what he's thinking, see if he can get some words over this.
Nice. All right. So now let's hear more about the work that you've done to create this three-track EP, which you recorded and had mixed and mastered, I guess, over at Open Sessions Music Studio right here in Kingston. So let's hear about the work you did to make it happen in that studio.
Well, yes, Open Session Studio. We have quite the history with it. So Open Session Studio is run by my brother Sam, and he started the studio out of the house that him and I both live in. So not only is the studio like really close to home, but it's also the place that Aiden and I use for practicing a lot of times to get ready for gigs and whatnot. So it's quite a versatile studio in that sense, and yeah, it was also kind of when my brother was starting out like with the studio and making it more of a professional thing because he had been working in it for the past like 2 years now. But yeah, really this year became its own identity, and he's been recording tons of bands in it, and the sound quality is like incredible. You know, it's amazing to live in a house that has such a functional studio. So yeah, anyways, we were looking to record, and my brother was gung ho for it, so it kind of worked out really well. And Aiden actually is going to be living in this house as well soon, so it's and there's definitely a lot of history going on in this little house, and we live downtown-ish, so we're pretty close to the action as well.
All right, so you guys recently released your three-track EP, self-titled EP, and I understand you had a release party at Signal Brewery on March 27th with Texas King. How did that go?
Honestly, that was incredible. Texas King are amazing. Their originals in particular, they're just so powerful, and as a band, they are so tight together, and yeah, I can't say enough good things about them. They're incredible. So when we got the opportunity to play down at Signal with them, you know, we had to jump right on that, make sure that came to fruition. And Signal itself is a beautiful venue. It's newer from what I understand as well. So yeah, that was just honestly great kind of vibes all around. And they loved the tunes as well. We hit it off with the band right away. So it was definitely a great, successful kind of release party for that.
Amazing. Riley?
Couldn't say it better myself. We were also blown away. None of us had ever been to Signal Brewery. So we didn't really know what to expect. It is kind of in the middle of nothing. And it was what, probably like a 50-minute drive for us or so from Kingston. Yeah, about 50 minutes. So it was awesome. Like the whole day was cool. Getting there and just seeing like the building and seeing this insane river like rushing, like it was really like high tide, right? So it's just like this insane looking river right beside us, rushing extremely like aggressively. It was beautiful. It was a very sunny day. So it was just like, I don't know, for us it was the whole thing felt kind of different than what we're used to, especially because we were there at like 2 o'clock for sound check, and we're typically used to going at like 8 or 9 ever. We're used to a bit of those later nights, right? So the whole thing was done quite early as well, which was definitely new to us. So it was really awesome. We the only time we really get to do that is like Broom Factory typically. But we've spent a lot of our music careers in bars playing until 2 a.m., right? So we appreciate a nice early night for sure.
Fantastic. And speaking of performances, do you have any upcoming shows or festival appearances or even tours coming up this spring?
So right now we're booking. We've been in contact with a lot of different bands. We're very much writing right now. So we're trying to we've gotten into this trap of just constantly gigging and never having time to write or record. But with all the students leaving and we're kind of going into tourism time, we're kind of trying to lock into writing and, you know, getting some, like, because we released a 3-song EP, but, you know, definitely more up our alley and style is like a full length album, right? So I feel like you can get a lot more across and something like that. So we're kind of in that stage right now. And of course, we've been doing a lot of really great gigs with great bands. So we're kind of on the radar for a lot of bands now that we, you know, that we would never have really been seen by before. So we're definitely planning a lot of big stuff, ideally, in the next couple months for sure.
And now over to you, Aidan. How can people keep up with the latest news and maybe more new music that you'll be writing this spring coming from Rust Pump?
Yeah, of course. So I'd say the best way to reach us would probably be our social media. We have Instagram and TikTok that we're going to start monitoring a lot more seriously now. It's just the way the music industry goes now. So we're working on plans right now for digital content to be fired out to the world, including our songs and, you know, all that good stuff. We, like Riley kind of mentioned before, the Cassador guys have been really kind to us and helping us kind of as mentors, showing us what to do, what works best. So we're looking forward to working on our content strategy going forward.
Amazing. And now we are going to listen to some awesome music. We're going to listen to all 3 tracks from your new EP. So, Aidan, you did touch on each of the tracks in terms of their sound. Riley, I wonder if you can expand a little bit about each of the tracks. We've got Never Home, Hung Up, and the lead single, Drool Again, which was featured in the Release Radar series. So tell us about the songs.
So they're all very different and they all have a special place in our hearts. I think Never Home is this incredible song because we have the 2 Ukrainian girls that we met in our St. Lawrence College program, Marina and Valerie, and they sing the chorus. And that, again, another song that like started off very, very differently. Like the way I was singing the chorus and the melody I had was very different. And then I brought in one of the girls to just sing like a backing vocal during the chorus. And then whenever she was singing it, she was following the keys that were on. And it just, all of a sudden I was like, whoa, wait, this sounds really cool. I rewrote the chorus so that she, like with new words and new melody and everything. And then she sang it and I was like, this is amazing. Let's get the girl in here as well. So it was really cool. It was one of those songs that like really changed over time. And it's personally one of my favorites that we've ever written just because of how, again, 70s rock it kind of sounds and how big those choruses sound. I also got one of my friends, Michael Zuzek, who did lots of performing in Kingston as a student, and now he's doing the same thing in Toronto. So he's the one who played the keys on the song. To me, it really made the song. It completed the song in every way. Hung Up is a song that you would definitely recognize if you've ever been to a Rust Pump show, because we pretty much play it almost every time. It's just become a staple of ours. And it's also just such a fun song. Like by the end of it, you can get the whole crowd screaming it, like just giving it all they can, just belting out, and it's really easy to catch on to by the end of it, right? So it just takes a little bit of crowd work, but everyone wants to scream by the end of it, which is the goal, right? So And then and Aiden, I always go over to Aiden during that too, and him and I both sing the big chorus shout parts and stuff. So it's very theatrical and honestly one of the most fun songs to play live. And then Drool Again, as I said, started off as this acoustic, sad kind of sounding song, and it became something so much more and so much more in depth, and something that I definitely think came out of a bit of sadness, but became something way more like psychedelic and happy and kind of just like mesmerizing. And I'm really excited for all of them, really. I'm happy that we were able to get the sounds we did, especially in the like such a great recording environment. And yeah, I'm excited to be able to share them. So thank you again for playing them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And congratulations to you on the new EP. Looking forward to hopefully some new shows coming up and certainly waiting for more new music from you as well. Thank you so much for joining us here on CFRC in the Release Radar Rundown. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure as well, and we'll hopefully talk to you very soon.
Thank you very much.
wish I could go back and see that girl I missed. What happened to the girl that used to like my song? She left when the shit got hard and now she is gone. Hey, babe, why you treat me this way? Yeah, and you wanna play?
And you just heard Hung Up and Never Home, two of the tracks on Rust Pump's new three-track eponymous EP. And thanks to Riley and Aiden of Rust Pump for joining us to chat all about it. And just a reminder that local musicians who want their new music amplified on social media and aired right here on CFRC Radio, you can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to give us a follow at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. For now, we're going to end our show with the lead single from Rust Pump called Drool Again off that new EP you can stream anywhere. Thanks for tuning in to Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen for CFRC. We'll see you next time.
Don't get burned.
14 à 30 ans et tu veux créer une activité en français pour les jeunes de ta communauté? Avec le programme VIF, c'est possible. Tu peux recevoir 850 $ pour soutenir ton activité et l'organisme partenaire reçoit 150 $ pour appuyer. Passe à l'action et fais rayonner le français dans ta communauté. Visite programmevif.ca et dépose ta demande dès maintenant.